Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about the books we'd like to recommend.
And I always take a special level of pleasure from podcast reviews where somebody is talking about a book that they didn't like.
It doesn't happen often enough, considering I definitely read books that I don't like.
I think you have to feel pretty passionate about it, though, if you're going to review it.
It's not dislike, it's like seething hatred.
And then to even further the plot twist, Erlene is bringing a Stephen King book that she didn't like. I never thought I would see the day.
You know, I have an unhealthy love for Stephen King. I don't know why I love his books so much and movies. I guess it's because he's one of the few authors that I know that his books usually go straight to a movie and I can see the visual of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But as I've grown, I find major inconsistencies in how he writes. And his latest book, The Institute, thoroughly upset me, but I had to finish it. And it's a great example of, I think many people who read Stephen King know he's not a great finisher.
No.
And he tends to build the climax sometimes way too long, or he takes too long in certain areas. This is a great example of it. And I really feel he forced this book because of it. The new
really
it,
okay,
because the rebirth of the whole kids and horror and it got a new life kind of thing. So you have this, and if you really read Stephen King, you notice that all of his books have some type of exceptional child in it. Something's going on with the kid, either the kid being tormented, is psychic, or something, or is some type of hero.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little tired of it.
Okay.
So the Institute is basically about an organization who takes exceptional children who either have telekinesis or telekinetic. They can read minds or move things, if I'm saying that right.
Yes.
And they take them at a rather young age, the youngest would be 10, to harvest their powers to use against potential threats to the world.
Wow.
Okay.
The plot sounds great. It's a mixture of Minority Report and like
the X-Men sort of
X-Men situation, a little bit of a Nazi camp thing going on. He introduced you to someone that you know is going to be a hero. You have Tim. Opens with Tim, who's an ex-cop from Minneapolis, something like that. And he's just wandering the country, left his job, lost his job after an altercation with a young kid in the mall waving a gun. So he was a really decorated cop, loved by all, young man. And he was off duty, went to the mall to get something to eat. Had a few drinks in the mall. I guess his mall has a bar. My mall doesn't.
Man, that sounds dangerous.
And I guess he sees two kids fighting and one's like holding a plastic gun or something to this kid. And he shoots the gun in the air to break it up. Well, something falls, hits someone, and then it's a whole hoopla.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, yeah, just shooting your gun in the air inside of a building in general is a bad idea.
Right.
It doesn't work the way you think it does.
So you open up with him on a plane trying to leave somewhere. Someone needs a seat. They offer him like $2,000 for his seat. And he says, great. He starts roaming the world, roaming countryside. And he ends up in a small town and takes a job as a door knocker, which a door knocker is a real old-timey job where it's almost like a security guard at night. You work for the police department and you just knock on old stores, see if anyone needs help, anything going on. That's his job. That's Tim. So you read, when you read the book, and Tim is only heard of in the first maybe 3 chapters, building who he is up, and then nothing again until the very end.
Whoa,
so,
that's kind of weird.
Hear about Tim, the town he's in, Dillsby or Disbury. You hear about him, where he's living, and then nothing.
That's so weird.
Yeah. It's maybe even chapter 1 and 2. That's all you hear about Tim. And then you go into Luke. And Luke's a young man. He's 12 years old. He lives, I think he's in Minneapolis, I think. He's 12 years old. He goes to a special school. He's super smart. Borderline, maybe autistic in some type of way, but really not. Already can go to MIT, got accepted. Parents are going to move to Boston, all those things. And he has the ability to move objects. I can't even remember when they told me in the book he can do it. That's the problem. So he's super smart. He's testing above all these ranges. And his parents are like, cool, let's take him to this school. He already got accepted. And then one night, a man and woman comes in and knocks Luke out and kills his parents and takes him away.
Oh, wow.
And then he wakes up in the Institute and the room is decorated like his bedroom. And he's rather calm about it. You know, like,
that's kind of freaky.
Yeah, he's like, where am I? What's going on? But he's super smart. But they clearly kill his parents, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he meets Kalisha, who's sitting in the hallway chewing on a fake cigarette, shows him the ropes of the place and stuff like that. So she's like, who are you? What can you do? So she can read minds a little bit. So Luke can move things around, but Kalisha can read your mind to a point. So you have in this institute the front half and the back half. The front half are like the first time arrivals. They get tests. They figure out what's going on with them. And the back half is where they actually do the experiments. And you meet Miss Silsby, who's the director, rather cold-hearted, just mean, detached. And you have Stackhouse, who's like over all of the guards. And he's a pure, what shall you call him? And
is he the one that you were saying before we got on air was the real
bad
guy of the story?
Yeah, he's really a bad person. And they all, you have, you know, custodial staff, cooking staff, and they all live off campus. And they all know it's a secret. They all know what's going on with these kids, but they're getting paid like $1 million a year for this.
Or
it's real hush money.
It just feels very... Like you couldn't keep paying like everyone from your custodial staff to your director like $1 million.
Well, you know, if it's secret organizations that's running these things,
yeah.
Of course. So
they probably off them once they hit retirement
age.
Oh
yeah.
I think Stackhouse is making, because there's a reference in the book when they go looking for when things happen. We're paying these people close to $1 million a year. We can probably get them out here no problem to help. And I'm like, $1 million a year? What kind of job is this?
Yeah.
And so basically you have these kids in this institute. Youngest is 10, who's Avery. Oldest, I want to say, is like 15, 16. And they all have abilities. And their parents have been killed. They've been taken. And in the back half, they pretty much drug them and use them until they just die.
Wow.
Yeah. So they tell them, oh, you go back home, we'll wipe your memory, which is not true. And they tell them that your work is saving the world type of thing. And they use the kids as a network to project. They have, in Minority Report, you know, they have the whole precogs will tell you this person's going to do something.
Yes.
And so nothing's happened yet, but it's going to happen. So they have precogs somewhere else telling them that Katie's going to commit treason, da da da. So now they have these kids watching movies, which are like subliminal messages of who Katie is, what she does. And they together use their minds, and they cause an accident for the person, for Katie to hurt herself.
Okay, so there's no culpability.
Yes. That's the book.
Okay.
He took at least 85,000 chapters just to build up.
I can see you're keeping count.
The whole institute. It took way too long to get to the point of it. It felt very predictable for me. It was not a new concept. He took a lot of different things. You know, Firestarter, which was a kid taken by the government. That's the feel you get here. Minority Report.
It feels very, like, YA, like, Hunger Games.
It should have been. Hunger Games was much...
Like
better
something
developed.
Like that, where like there's a bunch of teenagers, they're trapped, and the bad adults are using them.
I just think he really needs to. His only non-child book was Mr. Mercedes. If you think about it, there wasn't a kid in there.
Also, Misery.
And Misery,
which is my favorite by him.
So when you take away, I know what he's trying to do, but when you have Misery, when you have Mr. Mercedes, when you have one kid that wasn't even the main character, you had Hodges, you had, you know, Holly and them as the adults. It was a better made story. With this, it just felt like you're trying to put a lot of social issues into the book. Government secrets, which, okay, that's an old thing to
government
do.
Government snatching kids.
Snatching kids. And it's billed as a horror and terrifying, and it's not terrifying.
I was thinking that
boring.
As you were describing it.
I did the audio, so I love the voice of the audio. It was really good. I think right now with Joe Hill, his son, doing so much writing, actually quality writing, the pressure's on. And I think he needs to just go ahead and sit down and just work on your books and make some of the movies, TV movies, and stop writing.
Or at least develop them. Because is your main beef with it that it took too long or that it's undercooked on some points?
I feel that it is, you have like, what, 1,000 pages? So 550 pages, and this could have easily been cut in half.
Yeah.
Made into a nice short story, which he does short stories really well. I would have loved to hear about Tim's journey a little bit longer. Have them, because Tim meets up with Luke at some point. Luke escapes, help of his friends, and now he's on the run, hiding on trains. No one sees him ever until someone sees him and lets him go. It's just really an old school way of doing things. I think the reader's mind and how we think of things now, you gotta give us more than that.
Mm-hmm.
it doesn't help me build my imagination really well, if that
okay.
makes any sense.
Yeah.
So he took way too long with the Institute, way too long with that. He didn't make it scary.
Yeah.
You know, make it like their rooms look like nothing. Make it where they know they're doing something. Make it where they know they're being held against their will. They had too much freedom in the book.
Yeah.
It was just too whimsical. And like, oh, back half and front half and too accepting, in my opinion.
It did seem weird that, how old was the main character?
So
like 10
Luke,
or 12?
Luke was 12.
Yeah,
12,
it seems
13.
Weird that a 12-year-old would, like, see his parents get murdered.
He didn't see it, though.
Okay.
It just,
well, know that his parents were probably...
And he had an idea. They had a computer in the room, and he was able to look on the internet, and he knew they'd be, they're monitoring me. It just seemed really...
Yeah.
And one part, which I guess it felt very lax, and the character Stagsby, the director says, we've gotten very lax. Which is true, but it just, to me, was quickly done. He could have taken his time and made some changes and not drag out certain parts of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, if you want to, but...
I was about to say, who would you recommend this for?
I think a diehard King fan would want to read it just to see what it is. But to me, it's a lot of different books he's probably written. Shining, Firestarter, takes him to Minority Report, which isn't his, Minority Report. Other stuff, and this is what you have right here.
Yeah. So definitely read one of his other works,
yeah.
maybe first, if this is your first.
Yeah.
Game.
And really, one of his books that I loved was three of his novellas crammed together. It was Full Dark, No Stars.
Yes.
I feel like whenever he does novellas,
short stories and novellas,
he doesn't meander as much, and it's less frustrating.
Yeah. It really is. If you open it, you'll just feel like you're taking way too long. And then you have Luke, who really isn't even really the hero, Avery, who's 10 years old, and he has the most heightened ability.
Yeah.
He's the one who really saves everyone, so it's almost mm-hmm. like the whole Ender's Game being in it, where he's really the smart one out of everyone. I got a lot of that from here. I was able to pull different things that I've read, and like, this is a combination of different stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
Well,
sorry, people.
It's okay. That just means we'll get on to the game show portion.
Okay.
And we can... find some good
teenager music,
meandering music,
yeah.
just like kind of boring music.
Well, boring is easy.
Yeah, there we go. Start with your casting. You did the work.
The work. So I'm only going to cast the main meaty people.
Okay.
So Tim, who's the cop, I give you Chris Evans.
Okay.
Because he's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And then Miss Sigsby, who's the director of the Institute, Kate Blanchett.
Okay.
I think she does intense very well.
Yeah, kind of crazy old lady.
Yeah. Luke, I give you Noah Shape, who was in Stranger Things. He was the one who was... taken to the upside down place.
Oh, he's the one that's mad that no one
yeah.
plays D&D.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He wants to still be a kid. Kalisha, which who befriended Luke, I gave you Storm Reid. You remember her from the movie Oprah Winfrey did in 2008, the book.
Wrinkle in
Time.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
She played her. And then Stackhouse, who is the mean guard. I want to give you a younger John Malkovich. There's a young John Malkovich. He does mean well. And Avery, who was the really young kid, I gave you Noah Jupe. He's a little young kid. I've seen him do other little work. He's adorable.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to cast on that.
I feel like you're throwing an all-star cast at it to try to save it.
I'm trying my best
yeah,
to
maybe
do what Hollywood does. Let me give you everybody that's good. And then
yeah, all the good
A-list
people
here.
If they can bring it back up out of the depths.
Or Holly Hunter can do Miss Dixie. She does kind of Stone Cold well as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get to our rapid-fire question round.
Sure.
Can you describe Luke's room to us?
Luke's room, it's green, a desk with a little animal on it, lamp, bed, no posters. Luke's real simple in his room.
Okay. How long did it take you to get through the book from start to finish?
I did audio on a road trip.
Okay.
So it took me 8 hours.
Okay. It's pretty respectable for a book that size.
Yeah.
So.
Nonstop 8 hours.
Yeah.
No.
Were there any animals in the book?
No, not that I can remember. I am sorry. Damn it.
If you could hear this same book, but from someone else's perspective, whose would it be?
Samuel Jackson.
Well,
No?
I mean, that's good. I meant from the character.
Oh,
crap.
Did you want him to narrate it?
I want him to narrate it.
That would be amazing.
I definitely think he could say the whole of it.
I would like to hear Stackhouse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like the villain's perspective.
Yeah,
but they probably don't think they're a villain.
In the book, no one who works at the Institute has family.
Okay.
Miss Stigsby, whose name is MRS in the book, but you never hear about.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes reference to, this is my life, you leave things behind kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have another character who helps the kids. She's a custodial staff, and she was married. But this life kind of pulled things away.
Oh, so they may have family before, but because it's
such
a secret.
Because you have to live about a mile, 5 miles away from the campus on like a little camp. So you just can't go home. So they have full reign of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they do things, they make it to where, let's say you need a loan because you're having money issues. Oh, we'll give you a loan, no problem. But it kind of keeps you
stuck.
You stuck. So
because of that, were there any like romantic entanglements or anything between
there
any
was
of the
a
staff?
Little, no. Yes, there was like awkward romance between like Stackhouse and another guard lady, but it was awkward because it's almost like you're stuck together. So. I like you.
Yeah.
Like, I like you because I have to.
Because I have to. And then Tim is dating a woman. Since you don't hear about Tim until the end, you find out him and another officer is dating. I'm like, when did this happen? Because he doesn't give you any type of build up to that.
Okay, so do you have a portion of the book that you'd like to share with us?
Let's just open and see.
Open and see.
Where are we opened up at? Okay. To his surprise, she actually laughed. When had he last heard her do that? The correct answer might be never.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. It seems to capture the soul of the book.
Because I never laughed at all.
Never.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I guess I am a hard critic on books.
Well, especially someone like Stephen King. Like, he's not a new author. He should know.
There's a lot
and
of
And he has
hype.
A lot of resources, too. So he should
so,
be able
yeah,
to get
he gets
out.
The hype. I'm thinking if anyone else, if it wasn't him, had brought this to an editor or publisher, they would say, you need to cut it, take this out. They would just redline this completely.
Yeah.
So, but he has that, like you say, he has the backing. He has that force behind
That's
him.
Why I don't read a ton of Stephen King, because I feel like because he has that name, people are a lot less rigid with his books.
Mm-hmm.
And it just means that so many of them meander and, like...
And if you... Pay attention to other stuff. This came out, and season 3 came out of Mr. Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I want to say, last week started, well, in October. You know the miniseries they did on Hulu? I can't think of it, but that came out as well. It's a Stephen King miniseries.
So he's
probably,
been cashing
so it's
out,
like,
man.
He's backing everything, and then it's like, oh, and here's a book.
Yes, if you happen
you
to
know?
Catch my movie, you should also get my book.
So it's all, that's kind of like happening. And then his son's book came out this week.
I think they're
just
saving up for Christmas.
You gotta start the Christmas fund so you can get those good presents.
So, but yeah, it's okay.
All right.
That's all I got.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes.
I love being here. Thank you. See you around the library.
And stay tuned for more fantastic book recommendations.
Bye.